The Sultan of Sizzle. The Titan of Toastiness. The Kingpin of Kindling. These are the admired ones. Those who've created the prime place together. They don't just have a backyard. They have the backyard. Because they know a solo stove fire pit is more than just the ultimate smokeless fire pit. It's a place where friendships are forged, football is revered, and food is enjoyed. Solo Stove, the perfect flame for the big game.
A peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing, one retired cop returns...
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort, coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
All righty, rocking and rolling, hour number two of our radio program. That's right, it is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Jim Harbaugh, now the new head football coach of the Los Angeles Chargers. Also in the last 24 hours, Dave Canales signs on board as the new head football coach of the Carolina Panthers. But let's go out to the guest line right now and welcome in Sean Merriman, the former legendary Chargers linebacker, All-Pro, now a part of Lights Out Extreme Fighting. They have a new big card coming up on Friday, February 16th. Sean, always kind enough to join us right here on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Sean, my man, how you been? Appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Doing well, man. Just getting through this craziness over here with all this new news. So they're all good.
I'll tell you, like, you usually join us in studio. Today, you're joining us via Zoom. When you come in studio, every time you leave, people around the office go, man, Sean Merriman still looks like he could play. Like, will you ever be in bad shape? Because you still look like you're in game shape right now.
You know what it is for me, man? It's consistency, right? I mean, I think that most people get up out of bed and they get a coffee and stuff like that. I get out of bed and I go straight to the gym. So, I don't know it any other way, and I'm almost terrified to find out if I don't do it, what might happen. So I keep my ass in the gym.
What is your, like, normal routine workout looking like right now?
Yeah, I still hit the weights, you know, a couple days a week, 3-4 days a week, but also too, obviously being in a fight business, an MMA business, I get a chance to spar and train with a lot of the fighters. And to me, I think that more former athletes should pick up some kind of combat sport, right? I'm not saying to go take a fight, but I do think that all athletes should, when they get done, basketball, football, baseball, pick up some form of combat sport, man. It's kept me in shape. It's done wonders for me. And I enjoy it. Sometimes you got to punch people in the face once in a while.
What do you like when you get in and you start to spar? Like, have you gotten, like, your ass beat pretty good, or are you usually just destroying people left and right?
No. I depending on who I'm working with, man. I've been in there with some guys that's a couple fights away from welterweight champs. I sparred some guys up at over wow. top rank. I sparred some guys at Brandon Couture's gym, Extreme Couture, Black House in LA. I've been all, you know, if you ask, you know, a lot of the, I guess, fighters in different industry, boxers and MMA, they'll tell you that I'll go and I'll spar some guys. But I do it strictly to stay in shape. I am by no means ever trying to get back in there and fight for real. But I do think that it's important to just have some kind of discipline once you get done playing.
Now you're trying to find, like, the next great fighters. We'll talk about Jim Harbaugh in a second and the Chargers, obviously. Sean Merriman is here with us. Has there ever been someone that says, I should be a part of Lights Out Extreme Fighting, or I should get this fight? And then you say, okay, let's go spar. Let's go see what you got. And if I'm impressed with you from there, then we'll give you an opportunity. Does that happen, like, often with you?
It's a former football player who was thinking about fighting. And he played for the Chargers. I won't throw him under the bus or whatever, but he wanted to fight. And I said, hey, have you ever sparred? He said, no. I said, well, you're not ready to fight yet. So he wanted to spar me. I said, look, go spar somebody else. Go get some real work in and come back. And one day we can spar and let me know if you want to fight after you have some sparring sessions. And, yeah, I went in there. And I took it easy on him at first, and then he kind of got serious, and then, you know, obviously I had to go, and things got a little turned up, let's say that. But, yeah, it's happened before. But for the most part, man, I just enjoy promoting and being behind the scenes And growing these other fighters' brands, man. Like we got some real up and coming superstars. I think this card we got on February 16th, we'll have a couple guys that leave and go to the UFC right after this fight, or maybe take another fight or two with us and leave to the UFC. So for us, man, that it's been really cool to grow them and get behind them and promote a lot of these up and coming guys.
Talking to Sean Merriman right now. The big news dropped last night: Jim Harbaugh leaving Michigan, joining the Los Angeles Chargers as their next head coach. What was your initial reaction?
It was about damn time. I think that was my initial reaction, because we all knew, you know, not only who the Chargers wanted, who the Chargers fan base wanted, but also, too, what Jim Harbaugh wanted to do. He's been talking about Justin Herbert publicly for some time now. You know, his affiliations with the Chargers. You know, he's expressed interest of going up to the NFL level again. And, you know, everything that's happened in Michigan, and what he want to even deal with that or deal with the headache of it. You know, it was a perfect time. So, yes, it was a win for the Chargers. No doubt about that. But it was also a win for Jim Harbaugh. Like, you're walking into a situation where you can come in and win now. You know, he's turned organizations and programs around that haven't had half the talent that the Chargers do. Haven't had a quarterback like Justin Herbert or Keenan Allen or, you know, Bosa, Khalil Mack. I mean, you can go across the board on Derwin James on how talented this team is, and you're walking in the door and you'll be able to drive this Ferrari right away. I mean, that doesn't happen too many times. And the Chargers were the best team to miss the playoffs. And it wasn't because of talent. It was because of leadership. It was because of coaching. Couldn't get them there. Couldn't lead them to the promised land. So, you're walking into a talented team. It worked out best, in my opinion, for not only the Chargers, but Jim Harbaugh as well.
And that's the biggest thing. You get an adult that is ready in the room. Like, nothing against Brandon Staley. He didn't have the leadership skills, and he did so many questionable things that the locker room, even if they didn't turn on him publicly, internally they had to turn on him, and they had to realize that for the time that he was asked to be the head coach, he just wasn't fit to be the right guy for that job.
No, he wasn't. And look, I hate to say guys gave up, because that's a blanketed statement, right? But when you let a team score 60-plus points on you, there had to have been a good number of guys that gave up. And they gave up because they just didn't play for the coach. And that's what it comes down to, because if you respect your coach, if you believe in your coach, even if you don't like him, if you respect him, you don't let anybody put up 60-plus points on you. So that was a big part of that. The second part of it is, you're right, Brandon Staley just could not – live up to that position. And the more and more, the closer it got to the end of his tenure there, it was more apparent that he wasn't the guy. Firing back off of the media, can't answer straight questions. His inability to change and make decisions on the fly. Those things you have to do as a head coach. He wasn't suited to be in that position. It was more apparent at the end of the day. We know that Jim Harbaugh, that's the opposite issue that he's going to have. We know he's walking in. He's going to get guys to play for him. He's going to get guys fired up. He knows how to turn around. I mean, what he did with the San Francisco 49ers, they, what, missed the playoffs 7-8 times, 7-8 years before he got there. They were, what, 5 or 6-10 when he got there. It was like he made an immediate impact. And by the way, with half the roster that the Chargers have. So we know, just speaking from his past and his history and what his history tells us he's able to do, that he knows how to work with quarterbacks and he turns organizations around pretty quickly.
Sean Merriman here with us. Yeah, I'm excited for two reasons about this hire. Number one, he's going to be the guy that gets the best out of Justin Herbert. But then number two, everyone right now is chasing Patrick Mahomes. And we all look outside of the division because the division's been so bad and been so inconsistent. Like, now you look inside that division. Sure, the Raiders hired Antonio Pierce, but they don't have a quarterback. Sure, the Broncos, they have Sean Payton, but they don't have a quarterback. Now you get a great head coach to complement someone that I think is a great quarterback. It makes it fun, and it gives the Chargers down the road an opportunity to maybe take that baton away here and there from the Kansas City Chiefs.
It's no doubt about it. And that's one thing that everybody, including the fans and everyone around, have to not overlook. Stop talking about Super Bowl. Stop talking about the playoffs. Be the best team in your division, because the best team in your division currently is the Super Bowl champs. And so you have to go out and win the division first before you start talking about playoffs and anything else. That's how you get beat. But I'll tell you, just the press conference or just what Jim Harbaugh put out about laying out the groundwork, I can tell you that his mentality isn't, oh, we, you know, come in and win a Super Bowl because I got Justin Herbert and some of these stars on the team. His mentality and just talking and hearing his words, about him being enthusiastic and some of the things that he want to do, he's willing to come and lay the groundwork, and that's to be 1-0, right? 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, and then so forth. That's the attitude to have in anybody because you have a big-name coach. And I want to say this because when the coaching hires were happening, you got Bill Belichick and all these other people. But, oh, we get Bill Belichick, we can go win a Super Bowl. It doesn't work that way, right? It just doesn't work that way. But what Jim Harbaugh does and what he does for you is put you in the best situation to be the best team in your division. And I think that that's why they made that move.
Talking to Sean Merriman right now. Get into the games this weekend. Let's start with the AFC. I'll be in attendance for that Ravens-Chiefs game. Can't wait for it. Lamar Jackson up against Patrick Mahomes. What do you think is ultimately going to determine who goes to the Super Bowl out of the AFC this Sunday?
Right now, it's going to be a great game no matter what. Patrick Mahomes will never be a walkover. Travis Kelce and Andy Reid, those guys will never be a walkover. Chris Jones, never a walkover. I don't see anybody beating the Baltimore Ravens right now. Just not only forget the talent, forget how Lamar Jackson is playing. I'm talking about the brand of football that these guys playing on both sides of the ball. You know, they're attacking that. Their mentality is next level. The physicality that these guys are playing with, those inside linebackers and the guy are the best 1-2 tandem in football. And it's resonating throughout that locker room. Look at Lamar Jackson's post-game comments and his conversations. Even when they ask him about the Super Bowl, even when they ask him the bigger questions, he is focused on the next game. He's focused on the next game. And so he hasn't been like that in the past.
Talking to Sean Merriman right now. Also, moving over to the NFC. Brock Purdy has become polarizing. I don't know if it's fair or not, but it's either people look at him and say he's a good quarterback or they say he's a game manager. I know he did not play great up against the Green Bay Packers. He was bad for the first three quarters and when needed to, he did what he needed to do and he secured a victory. I'm just wondering, you having that defensive mindset, you playing at an elite level in the NFL, like if you were in the Lions locker room this weekend, how would you view as a defensive player Brock Purdy as a quarterback?
Well, for one, let's not overlook the fact that he got weapons, right? And we're so used to goading somebody or say that they suck off of 1 year, right? I mean, that's the worst thing that's happened in sports. Somebody have a big year, now they're the best players all time. Well, they didn't have a great year, now they're terrible. They shouldn't even play in the league. And we've gotten to that point now where we're starting to crown or decrown somebody depending on how that moment goes. It's just too early for Brock Purdy. He's playing great. I mean, he's leading in, I think, 5 or 6 different categories in the NFL when it comes to quarterbacks, somewhere in the top 5 or whatnot. He's up there. They got a great staff and wide receiver with Debo and Kittle, and they're running the ball well. You know, 2 great defensive ends, and Fred Warner. They're loaded. But if anybody's sitting there saying that he's only good because he got weapons, that's the most ridiculous statement to make. That's a pat on the back to Kyle Shanahan. That's a pat on the back to John Lynch. That's a pat on the back to these guys who built this team up. And so if you want to criticize him for being surrounded by good players, what are we playing a team game for? What are we playing a team game for? So he's not that good because he got weapons? It just doesn't work that way. But before you start judging a quarterback, especially in this league, I think there needs to be a good 3 or 4 year period before you kind of put that stamp on what he is.
Do you think the Lions win this week up against the 49ers? You're picking the Niners.
I picked the Lions to go all the way before the season.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely. And I said that because of how they finished up last year. I'm a big fan of 2 things helping momentum, right? And I think that the way they finished up last year and the way those guys were playing, that it was just going to roll over into the season. I called it when they had Kansas City early on in the season. They played them. I said they're going to beat Kansas City, and they did. People can go out and say they didn't have Travis Kelce and Chris Jones or whatever. They were still winning that game because they're that good. I think that the San Francisco 49ers have been a little exposed this year. I think that, you know, whether Brock Purdy was hurt, head injury or whatever he had, that on that 3 or 4 game losing streak that they had. But there's been some holes that you've seen with San Francisco 49ers this year. With the Detroit Lions, there's not as been many holes. Even the games that they lost, they were still in. They were never really dominated as much this year. Also, they have the same kind of mentality as the Ravens. They are very physical. The physicality that these guys play with. And we're not giving Dan Campbell enough credit, man. Like, this dude came in and instilled a mentality in a whole organization, in a whole city, in a short period of time. Think of how long this organization went With just that dark cloud, that shadow, and all of a sudden, one head coach comes in here and got everybody believing. Aiden Hutchinson and these guys talking the way they're talking after the game, everybody believes now that they can go out and win. And that comes from the top. We just talked about Brandon Staley, what he wasn't capable of doing. Coaches matter, and I don't care what people say, and I really do believe that the Lions have a real shot this year.
He is Sean Merriman. Make sure you check out Lights Out Extreme Fighting. You can watch it on Fubo Sports. And they got a big card coming up Friday, February 16th. And as always, Sean Merriman, great to see you. Thanks so much for coming on. We appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks for having me.
There you go. Sean Merriman joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will take a timeout. We have connected with Blake Corum, the legendary Michigan running back. So we'll go from one guest to the next. We'll be continuing to talk about the Los Angeles Chargers getting Jim Harbaugh as their next head coach, with a man that knows Jim Harbaugh extremely well. The legendary Michigan running back, Blake Corum, joins us in 5 minutes on CBS Sports Radio.
The Sultan of Sizzle, the Titan of Toastiness, the Kingpin of Kindling. These are the admired ones, those who've created the prime place together. They don't just have a backyard, they have the backyard, because they know a Solo Stove fire pit is more than just the ultimate smokeless fire pit. It's a place where friendships are forged, football is revered, and food is enjoyed. Solo Stove, the perfect flame for the big game.
A peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing, one retired cop returns...
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort, coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck at a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. Now joining us on the guest line is one of the greatest players to ever wear a Michigan football uniform. He is the touchdown king, a national champion, and now he's off to the NFL. And that, of course, is Blake Corum, kind enough to join us once again on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Blake, first and foremost, congratulations. Always appreciate the time. And how you been?
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me. I've been great, man. You know, just I'm currently down here in the great state of Florida, you know, training for the combine, getting ready.
Yeah, what is this like for you? You had a great career at Michigan, and then you got to turn the page so quickly. It ends in the best way possible, winning a national championship, but now you're all full go in the next chapter of your journey as you get set to hear your name called in a few months in the NFL draft. So what's this been like for you?
Yeah, it's been amazing. It's been a dream come true. You know, this is something I've dreamed about since I was a kid, and you know, so many great things has happened over the really this year and last year, you could say, but really this year with a national championship, you know, a great Rose Bowl win, and now, you know, didn't really get much time to really embrace that all because I had to get ready for the next chapter. You know, time waits for no man. So, you know, it's been crazy, but it's been great.
When you get a moment to breathe and you get a moment to process what you guys accomplished this year, and it only happened a little over 2 weeks ago when you're walking off the field at NRG Stadium and you guys are the best team in college football, how do you kind of put that into words, what winning it all meant to you?
Man, you know, that's what I came to Michigan for. You know, when I sit back and think about everything, my teammates, I, you know, Coach Harbaugh, all the other coaches, the university been through, and just to come out on top and shut everyone up and just let everyone know, you know, this is Team 144 was one of the best teams ever to play college football. You know, it means a lot to me. You know, I don't take that for granted at all. And, you know, I'm just blessed to have been able to be a part of such a great team. And, you know, we're national champions, man. So that's something no one can ever take away from us.
And you had to fight for everything that you've ever earned in your life. I remember the first time we talked to you, you were discussing how when you were in high school to get to a better high school and get a little more recognition, your dad would drive you like an hour and a half, 2 hours, and then your mom would drive you back each and every day. And it was a big sacrifice that your parents made. And then you get to Michigan, you know, you guys got the program back into a good spot. You know, you beat Ohio State twice. You won two Big Ten national championships. And at the end of that season, unfortunately, you get hurt. You made the decision to come back. And then you guys put the cherry on top of the sundae, the last missing piece, and winning that national championship. Just what did this year kind of teach you about yourself with everything that you had to overcome for the adversity and for it to end in the best way possible?
Yeah, I'm just so grateful for to go through such a great trial. I just thank God for allowing me. You know, I wasn't happy that I got hurt, but once I really sat back and thought about it, it was great. You know, just because I grew as a man, I grew spiritually, mentally, and physically. And ultimately, if I didn't get hurt, most likely I would have gone to the NFL. So, you know, I'm just blessed that, you know, certain things happen. I believe everything happens for a reason. And, you know, coming back to the University of Michigan was the best decision I ever made. And coming back and being with my teammates and ultimately just, you know, coming out on top. Like I told everyone, what was that, February 9th, when I was in the Chrysler Center, that, you know, we would go down as legends and win a national championship, and that's what we did. And so, you know, just being able to say I was a man of my word and bring a national championship to Ann Arbor, man, you can't write a better story than that.
Blake Corum here with us. Is it bizarre to you? Is it kind of surreal that the journey and the chapter at Michigan is now over for you?
Oh, it's weird. I was actually on the phone with my mom earlier, and I was like, man, it feels weird just being a football player. You know, I'm just so used to being a student athlete, and now I'm just a football player, just training every day, you know, no schoolwork, strictly football. And so, you know, it's fun. It's nice, but it definitely feels a little weird.
Well, the big news the last 24 hours, your head football coach Jim Harbaugh is now going to join you maybe somewhere in the NFL, but he's off to the Los Angeles Chargers. Just when that did all go down, I know it wasn't shocking, but what was the initial reaction when Jim Harbaugh decided to go from college back to the NFL?
Yeah, no, not shocking at all. You know, Coach Harbaugh is a man with goals, and, you know, he set out to win a national championship and change Michigan around, and he did that. So why not go back and give it a round two at trying to win a Super Bowl? Just, you know, he's such a great coach. He's won everywhere he's been. You know, coach means a lot to me. So just seeing him, you know, be the head coach of the Chargers, I know he's not going to need a couple years to change that program around. They're going to win right away. And, you know, I'm excited to see what he does.
I wonder if you're going to be a part of that journey. I know you don't know where you're going to go yet in the NFL draft, but I could see Jim drafting you and maybe you guys reunite in L.A.
Yeah, nah, that would be great. You know, like I said, Coach Harbaugh, he's such a great coach. You know, I love playing for him. I would do anything for Coach Harbaugh. And, you know, so, hey, you never know. You know, Coach might end up picking me up in the draft. But whether he does or doesn't, I know he's going to be such a successful, you know, head coach as he always has been. And I know, you know, the L.A. Chargers are going to do big things with Coach Harbaugh in charge.
Talking to Blake Corum right now, the legendary Michigan running back. He's getting set to hear his name called in the NFL draft in a few months. So now it's what's next for Michigan. They lose a lot of great players that go down as champions, and we'll see who does come back with the transfer portal now opening up. But a lot of people anticipate Sherrone Moore is going to be the next head football coach. Just why would Sherrone Moore, in your opinion, be the right choice for Michigan?
I mean, because he's a Michigan man. You know, he's been in the program for a long time. He's been a great OC, and he has top 10 wins under his belt already as a head coach. So I think he's shown that, you know, he's the guy for the job. He knows, he's learned under Coach Harbaugh, and like I said, he's already had experience being the head coach when Coach Harbaugh was suspended. So, you know, I think Coach Moore is definitely the man for the job. I think we go in-house with this one, keep the culture going down in Michigan, and make sure everyone's on the same page. But I think Coach Moore, you know, he'd make a great head coach. And, you know, I think he is the guy. You know, I think we all know that. Obviously, we had to wait 7 days before they can name a head coach. But he's the guy.
Yeah, I think everyone would be shocked if it's not him, right? Like, you'd be disappointed if it comes out in 7 or 8 days that he isn't going to be the next head coach of Michigan, right?
Yeah, I would be disappointed.
Wrapping up with Blake Corum, what would you say to a current Michigan player about – the next journey, you know, the next team. Because now with the transfer portal and it opening back up with Harbaugh leaving, you know, people will get other opportunities to maybe go make some money in the NIL world that we're living in now. What would you say to some of your former now Michigan teammates about staying at Michigan and why they should see that journey through?
You know, I called Donovan the other day, but what I would say to Team 145 is stick to the plan. You know, just because, you know, guys have left, you know, we lost a good amount of our guys. There's still a bunch of guys that are coming back. And what we've built at Michigan, don't let anyone change that. The culture, the brotherhood, the love for the game, the love for each other. Don't let any of that diminish just because some guys left and, you know, Coach Harbaugh left. The culture at Michigan must remain the culture at Michigan. And no, everyone must be on the same train. And the train only goes in one way, and everyone has to hop on. So, you know, that's what I would say to Team 145. Don't switch up. Stick to the plan. Stick to the Michigan way, the way that we've created since 2021. So, yeah, that's what I would say.
Why was this team so unselfish? Like, you guys had so many talented players. An ego could maybe, like, derail a team that has so much talent. And, you know, the ball could only go to one person on every play. Why was this team able to sacrifice in order to reach their ultimate goal, which was, you know, win the Big Ten again, beat Ohio State, then you win the Rose Bowl, and then you cap it off with the national title?
Well, when you have a team that only cares about winning, and when you have a head coach that only cares about winning, you know, that's what you guys will do, right? And you'll do everything to win. So, you know, the culture we built at Michigan is win, 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 win. You know, no matter what it takes, win the ball game. And so when you have that type of mindset, you don't care who scores. You don't care who gets a tackle or a pick or a touchdown. You know, you just want to win by any means necessary. And so that's where that unselfishness comes from. You know we love our brothers. We love seeing our brothers have success. And like Coach Harbaugh always says, what's good for the B is good for the Hive. And what's good for the Hive is good for the B.
But what's your favorite Harbaugh saying? Is it that one? Just wondering.
I mean, he has so many, you know, so many good ones. You know, he's always throwing stuff at us. That's definitely one of them because it's so true. But I mean, you know, one of my favorite ones, and it's just in the Harbaugh family, is, you know, who's got it better than us? You know, that's a good one. You know, that's legendary.
And the right answer is nobody, obviously. Before we let you run, Blake Corum, you know, I was at that game in the Big House, and unfortunately, Zach Zinter goes down in the Ohio State game. I've never seen an environment like that where they just start chanting, let's go, Zach, just over and over and over again. And then, right, you guys are seeing your teammate, your brother, on the field with a nasty, gruesome injury, and there was a long layoff, and the next play, boom, you put the ball in the end zone, and you flash his number 6'5", up to the camera. Just how did you even think about that one in the moment? Because it was just so cool to see when it did play out in the Big House.
You know, when you're your brother's keeper and you're around your brothers all the time, things just happen, right? So, you know, I felt for Zach because I kind of felt what he was going through because I went through it last year, you know, towards the last game of the season. You know, I felt what he was feeling. You know, even though I didn't get a chance to talk to him during that moment, I felt it. And so, you know, I just wanted to throw it up for a big Zen and let him know, hey, we're going to get this dub for you.
I know that it was so special for you to win the national championship, but to see Donovan Edwards, who had an up-and-down season, end the season with those two big runs to set the tone for you guys in Houston up against Washington, you just had to be so elated for him, right?
So happy, you know, and I'm just so happy it happened at that time because he's going to carry that confidence over into this next season. Like I told him, man, go get everything you ever dreamed of, you know, and, you know, be a leader of a team, be the leader that you are, and lead this team. And so, you know, seeing him score those touchdowns in the biggest game of his career, of all our careers, you know, it meant a lot. I just know he's going to do big things next year with him being, you know, RB1. And, you know, I'm so excited to see what he does. You know, I'm excited to see, you know, him win the Dope Walker and, you know, be in the Heisman race. Walter Kent, you know, you name it. I'm saying he's going to go get it. You know, this is how much faith I have in my guy and his work ethic. It was awesome seeing them score those two long ones.
Bringing it back to you, Blake Corum, you're going to get asked a lot of weird questions in the next few months leading up to the draft. I'll ask you a simple one. Why should a team draft Blake Corum? What are they getting if they call your name in April?
Yeah, well, I mean, why should a team draft Blake Corum? I mean, there's many reasons on why a team should draft me, but, you know, whatever, whoever does draft me, whoever sees, you know, I fit their scheme and I fit, you know, their organization, they're going to get a guy who's going to work harder than ever, a guy that's all about winning, a guy that's there for the team, and a guy that, you know, will do good on and off the field, a guy you don't have to worry about, you know, doing dumb things that will make the team look bad, and a guy that's just always going to give his all. You know, he's going to put his whole heart and soul into the game and into the organization. And with that being said, you know, hopefully win the Super Bowl. So, just a guy that wants to give his all to the organization and win.
And the other thing, too, because, you know, character matters with a human being. You have a lot on your plate when you're the star of a college football team and you get pulled in many different directions. What you've been able to do off the field with your charity work, it really is remarkable. Just tell some people what you do away from the football field to uplift some others.
Yeah, you know, I believe charity work is why we are put on this earth. I think we're put on this earth to help others. And that's just something that's always been a part of me since I was a youngster. You know, just my mom and dad instilled it in me. So, you know, some things I do and I'm going to continue to do is, you know, my turkey drive. You know, I've done it 3 years in a row, and even though I won't be in Ann Arbor, I'm going to make sure the Ypsilanti family still get turkeys. Backpack drives. We did the biggest Christmas giveaway I've ever seen. We've gone to McDonald's and got cheeseburgers, hamburgers, and just drove around handing burgers out to the homeless. We've done a football free football camps. You know, we've done a lot in the community, and currently I'm trying to start this big project of, well, I'm starting a nonprofit organization, but I plan on buying some land, a good amount of land, and building zip lines, cabins, you know, a man-made lake, just everything so I can bring kids that might be less fortunate. We'll bring them to what I would call a farm and just allow them to have a good time, teach them different skills and teach them how to change their oil, teach them how to change a tire, allow them to have fun. So, you know, I'm trying to do a lot of things in the community to allow especially the younger generation to dream big. And so, you know, those are my goals, man, just to make a difference.
It's absolutely awesome. I have to personally thank you, by the way. Two of my best friends, I've told you this throughout the years, they attended Michigan and they're elated, right? Because now they look at their school and they could be national champs. But another one of my best friends, he went to Ohio State. I haven't heard much from him this year. So I thank you. It's his 30th birthday today for kind of shutting him up this football season. Last thing I'll ask you, though, and, you know, the scandal has been a big topic of conversation, obviously. You guys lost your coach for 3 games. You come back, right? You beat everyone in front of you. What do you say to people that still doubt what this Michigan team accomplished this past year?
You know, to everyone that doubts, I mean, just let them doubt. They're probably miserable. You know, they're probably the type of people that hate their job and, you know, don't take each day like it's a blessing. Wake up on the wrong side of the bed. So, you know, I don't really pay attention to those people that are still doubting on what we did. And, you know, so I just let them be them. You know, I don't feed my energy into negative energy. You know, I'm a very positive person. So for the people that, you know, just don't like life and, you know, those are the people that are hating on us and think, you know, we shouldn't have won a national championship. We really weren't that good of a team. So I just let them talk, man. You know, I mean, our game showed we're national champions. You know, we beat the best teams. So I just let them talk.
Well, we'll let you run. We can't thank you enough for jumping on board with us today. Good luck to you and your family in this next chapter. And we're excited to hear where your name's going to get called to the NFL draft at the end of April. Thanks, Blake.
No, thank you.
There you go. Blake Corum joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll come on back. We'll update you some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We call that segment the News Brief. But first up with the latest CBS Sports Radio update, here is Rich Ackerman.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
Make this Valentine's Day one she'll remember forever with an engagement ring from JamesAllen.com. James Allen knows each love story is unique. That's why they make it easy to custom design engagement rings at up to half the price of a traditional jeweler. Choose from tons of conflict-free diamonds, both natural and lab-grown, then pick your ring setting and metal. Shop the James Allen Valentine's Day sale and get 25% off with promo code PODCAST. That's 25% off at jamesallen.com, promo code PODCAST.
Nobody wants a surprise in their jelly donut.
It's toothpaste?
That's because the middle is the most important part. At Graybar, we're at the middle of electrical and datacom jobs across the country, connecting installers, facility managers, and business owners with smart solutions for their most challenging projects, which means stocking and delivering crucial products on time and on budget, with no surprises, thanks to our nationwide logistics network. Yep, Graybar does that.
Every year, one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services, so your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. It's like your own personal post office. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com code PROGRAM.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Let's start things off with Kyle Shanahan, the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. He gives an update on the health of Deebo Samuel.
For practice today, we just got Deebo's shoulder. He won't practice. Everyone else is full.
How's Deebo feeling?
He's feeling better.
I think you're more optimistic about his availability for Sunday.
Makes me feel better.
Now, what is his exact injury? Is it a separation, a bruise, a dislocation, or a fracture?
His shoulder hurts.
Okay.
That's all, yeah. Just hurts.
There is nothing more awkward than when you're a media member and you have to ask about a player's status and you know. Like, that's just a question that you know you're going to get very little, if anything, out of Kyle Shanahan. But I think everyone would be shocked if Deebo doesn't at least give it a go. Last week, at first, we thought it was a head injury. Then he cleared that. And then we found out it was a shoulder injury that he suffered later on, shortly after that. I'm not saying Deebo's going to be 100%. He clearly won't be. I don't know if Deebo will even be effective. But I will be very surprised if he at least doesn't give it a go and at least tries to play. And then if he can't make it through the game, then they'll pull the plug on it. But I would be absolutely floored if he's not active coming up on Sunday for the NFC title game. Here is Richard Sherman on Undisputed on FS1 and why he's going with the Kansas City Chiefs over the Baltimore Ravens.
I'm betting against Lamar because I've only seen Patrick Mahomes losing the playoffs to Burrow and Brady. I've only seen him lose one Super Bowl. He's been to three. I've seen him lose an AFC championship game to Burrow. I've seen him lose to Brady in the AFC championship. I've not seen anybody else send him home with a loss. And so it's not about Lamar. It's about Patrick Mahomes has found a way to win these games regardless of situation, regardless of what's going on. It's going to take a Herculean effort to send him home.
It's a fair take by Richard Sherman, but did you see Joe Flacco beating Tom Brady in playoff games? Did you see Mark Sanchez beating Tom Brady in a playoff game? Like, upsets happen, and this would not be considered an upset because the Ravens are a 3.5-point favorite, but you will have people like Richard Sherman, which you can't fault him for saying, I'm going to give Kansas City the benefit of the doubt because until someone takes out the champ, you're going to think that they're going to be the champ again. But the only thing that I would say is when Richard Sherman says it's going to take a Herculean effort. Why could I not say that word correctly? Go.
Herculean.
Herculean effort.
Herculean.
Herculean?
More like Herculean.
Whatever.
Close. Herculean.
You're going to need to be like Hercules, Hercules, Hercules.
There it is.
Is that better? You're going to need an effort like that. Is Lamar Jackson not capable of doing that? Yeah, he is. He's now going to be the MVP of the league twice. And the dude's like a cheat code in a video game. So I think Lamar Jackson in his building is up for the task. And I can't wait. I found out today that I'm going to be going to that game. Ravens and Chiefs. I'm going to be driving down early Sunday morning. Going to be watching the AFC Championship game. That is going to be a wonderful matchup when you have Mahomes up against Lamar Jackson. Just going to be spectacular. Here is Jared Goff. I heard this. This was a very funny exchange that he had with the reporter. Listen up.
You guys got a lot of really good players, obviously. But
oh, thank you.
What's that?
I said thank you.
You're welcome. Maybe not viewed, though, as the superstars like maybe the 49ers have or other people.
All right, never mind.
He is developing a quiet confidence. There is now some bravado to Jared Goff. There is now an aura about Jared Goff. Where I don't think anyone's going to say Jared Goff is a top five quarterback in the league, or as the kids would say, he is him. Like, I don't think anyone's going to say that about Jared Goff. But this dude now has been to a Super Bowl with the LA Rams, and he has the Detroit Lions when he was an afterthought in that trade in the Stafford deal, and it was mainly for picks with the Lions. He now has the Lions 60 minutes away from a Super Bowl. And really their first year with legitimate expectations. And he's already exceeded those expectations. I said the 49ers in the beginning of the week. I'm still going to pick the 49ers. Stu just picked up his head and he was like, uh-oh. Is he about to pick the Detroit Lions? But as the week is going on, and we'll see how I feel tomorrow on a Football Friday. Because like last week, for example, I thought the Texans were going to cover all the way through the week, and then we got to Friday. I'm like, I'm taking the Ravens. I'm taking the Ravens laying the 9.5 points and ended up winning. Right now, I'm feeling like the Lions lose the game, but they cover the 7.5 point spread. That's what I'm thinking right now, but the Lions are definitely alive. I don't think you walk into this game. Like earlier in the week, I thought the Lions didn't really have much of a chance. I don't think the Lions now don't have a chance in this football game. As the week has gone on, I'm like inching closer and closer and closer to the Lions side, but I'm still going to pick the 49ers. Here is our pal, Boomer Esiason, who once yelled at me in this office, and I love Boomer, for wearing shorts when I was doing a overnight shift here at CBS Sports Radio, and he thought I should not be wearing shorts here at our CBS Sports Radio studios, but he is now Mr. Insider, Ben Johnson. He's saying we'll be the next Commanders coach. This courtesy of Boomer and Geo on WFAN in New York City.
I'll tell you who the best coach available is to make him the best player he can be. His name is Ben Johnson. He's the offense coordinator for the Detroit Lions. But he's going to be the head coach of the Commanders. I told you that.
So you're telling me that's a lock?
Yeah.
Head coach of the Commanders?
Yes.
Ben Johnson?
Yes.
Grain of salt spot?
Nope.
Lock spot?
Lock spot.
Lock spot!
How about that? So Adam Schefter is at, hold on. Let me just finish the thought there on Ben Johnson, because I didn't listen to anything Boomer said. I know what Boomer already said, but we do have breaking news. We'll get to it in just a second. Yeah, I think everyone knows that Ben Johnson is going to be the next head coach of the Commanders. But let's do this. I'm calling an audible. Omaha, Omaha, Omaha. Fade down the news brief music. The news brief is now over. Breaking news. Simultaneously, when the Boomer Esiason audio is just being played, Samter gets in my ear and we go, we got breaking news. And the Falcons have their new coach. And what happened was I picked up my head as he said that. And I look to the right and I see Dan Orlovsky on ESPN. He's not the new Falcons coach, just to be clear. But underneath him, it says breaking news. Raheem Morris is being hired by the Atlanta Falcons. My first initial thought is, wow. Not just because Raheem Morris got the job. He was deserving of being an NFL head coach again in the National Football League. But the reason why I say wow is it did appear that the momentum was reaching a stop and it was starting to sway away from Bill Belichick going to Atlanta. But now, where the heck is Bill Belichick going to coach next year? So Raheem Morris is the new coach of the Atlanta Falcons. And really, what I think this means is through all the reporting, Rich McKay, who's a longtime confidant and works for the Falcons, a longtime confidant of Arthur Blank, he got his way. Because a lot of people said, and a lot of people have been speculating, that Rich McKay did not want to hire Bill Belichick. Could you imagine if I would have told you last week that Dave Canales and Raheem Morris would get head coaching jobs before Bill Belichick? That's a stunner. Because it was Stu the other day who said, yeah, I think there's like a less than 15% chance now that Belichick winds up in Atlanta. And I still thought that number was a little bit too big. But it looks like, unless Belichick just gets desperate and he goes to a place that he didn't want to go to, or if something happens in the next week, a job opens up that we didn't expect, that Bill Belichick is not going to be coaching next year.
The only ones that are still open are the Commanders and the Seahawks. And Dan Quinn is heavily favored to go to the Seahawks. Pete Carroll seems like he's going to get locked out if Boomer's report's correct. Vrabel might get locked out. Could you imagine if Vrabel, Pete Carroll, and Bill Belichick, the top three names outside of Jim Harbaugh, all get shut out?
Yeah, there's going to be some good TV analysts. I'll tell you that. Or next year, they'll just jump to the top of the line. And I don't think Belichick's not going to coach again. You know, Vrabel will coach again. Pete Carroll, he wants to coach. I don't know if he actually will. But the Raiders have hired Antonio Pierce. The Falcons have now hired Raheem Morris. The Tennessee Titans have hired Brian Callahan. The Chargers have hired Jim Harbaugh. And the Panthers have hired Dave Canales. So that means you're right, Samter. There's two jobs left. It's the Commanders and it's the Seahawks. It's a foregone conclusion that the Commanders are going to land Ben Johnson. So for the Seahawks, I know Dan Quinn's doing his second interview. You know, can Vrabel land there? We know it won't be Pete Carroll. They just got rid of him. And does Belichick maybe call up the Seahawks and say, hello, it's me, and try to go land in Seattle? That'd be something. Belichick replacing Pete Carroll after their history. My oh my, we'll talk more about this next.
A peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing. One retired cop returns.
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort. Coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
Says here that Graybar is a distributor?
Yeah, we support electrical and datacom projects all over the country.
So you can get me the products I need, where and when I need them?
Yeah, thanks to our national logistics network.
Any industry?
Yeah, construction, industrial plants, schools, hospitals.
So you could say Graybar is much more than a distributor.
Yeah, you could say that. When you need a hand powering, connecting, or maintaining your operations, join the thousands of professionals who rely on Graybar to help keep them up and running. Yeah, Graybar does that.